we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I do ask for your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon. So thankful for the good meeting and sweet prayer that's been offered. And just know that those things can only come from the Lord. And we give Him the praise and the honor and the glory for that. And I just ask each of you to continue to pray for me as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from the first chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. We begin right at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Here we have the writings of the Apostle Paul. What a blessing that is, that a man like Saul of Tarsus, who had no mind to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but rather despised the very name of Christ and all that would follow him, would be moved by the grace of God to be able to pin down the wonderful truth as it is in Christ that we have recorded from the hand and the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote by inspiration of God. He wrote as God moved him. Paul was not of his own mind and of his own thoughts and of his own ability one that made a choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a teacher of the gospel. But God called him out of the walk of life that he was in and turned his life completely around. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's something that's so important for all of us to recognize even this afternoon. That as Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us that have been called out of nature's darkness to His marvelous light, that the Lord has touched in our hearts where we've been born of the Spirit and we've been made alive. We who were dead in trespasses and sins have been quickened together and have been made alive and given life in Christ. And that life that has been given to us in Christ is not given to us just to live any old way, but we should recognize that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. God's children are purchased people. They are a chosen generation. They are a holy nation. They are a peculiar people, which means a purchased people. We have been bought and paid for. We belong to Him. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prior to the work of grace in our life, we were servants. But we were servants to sin. We were servants to the will of the flesh and the lust of the mind. We had no ability to change our course, our direction. Didn't have the want to, didn't have the will, didn't have the ability. It took the grace of Almighty God to bring us out from that bondage. And He led captivity. We were under that captivity. He led captivity captive. In other words, He brought us unto another captivity. We've been brought unto another relationship. We've been taken out of the bondage that we were in regarding sin. We were in bondage to sin, and that we by nature could only do sin. That's what our free will led us to go contrary to the things of God. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We came forth from the womb speaking lies. And all of us were in that same situation. And until we had been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then quickened and made alive and worked on by the Spirit of Almighty God, we had no ability to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have the will to do it, and we didn't have the ability to do it. And all of the preaching in this world would have never convinced one single man, woman, boy, or girl to turn from the course of walking in the way of this world to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you sit down with a couple and talk to them about following the Lord, if the Lord hasn't first worked on them, then you sharing that with them will never convince them that's the best way to go. You might get one to say, okay, just to get on to the next step, get on to the next thing. But to see it sincerely from their heart, that they recognize our need of the Lord. Today, I hope we all come here recognizing our need of the Lord. I hope you do. We all need Him whether we recognize or not. Not all men will recognize that. Not all men know that. But I'll tell you, the Lord is the reason I have breath in my nostrils and the reason my heart is beating. The Lord is the reason that I have life physically and that I have all the blessings that a life has provided for me physically. The Lord is the reason that I have a spiritual life and a desire to serve Him and follow Him and a knowledge of Him and a hunger for Him and a thirst for Him. If there's any godliness in any man, it didn't come out of the man. It came from Almighty God. Great is that mystery of godliness that's in anyone, but that came from God. The godliness that you saw in the Apostle Paul or any other preacher that's ever stood before us or any of the other good man or good woman that you and I have known, the goodness, the godliness that came from them came only from the Lord because it's not in man. If you want to see what's in man, it's not a pretty picture. You can open your Bibles and read Romans 3 and you can see in Romans 3 everything that's in man. And from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all the way down and all the way up, all that he has in him is not what's right and good and going the right direction. It's just the opposite. Man isn't a little bit off. Man is completely and totally depraved. Men don't like to hear that because the wicked doesn't. We don't by nature want to hear those things. They're not pleasing to us. But I want you to know today it's a great blessing. If you love the Lord today, if you have a work of grace in your heart, you've been called as a servant, you've been bought and paid for. It cost a price that we didn't have to pay. It cost the very life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost and His death. He had to die that you and I might live. He came down from heaven to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father was that His little children might be saved from their sins, and Jesus came for them, and He will have each and every one of them. And the Apostle Paul identified himself to the children of God is that I'm the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray today that as I stand before you, above anything else, I'm in a sense a servant to the church. I'm in a sense the servant of the Lord's people. I'm here, if I am a called minister of the gospel, I am here not to lord over God's heritage, but to serve God's heritage, to minister to God's people, to feed God's little lambs and God's little sheep. And I am not here to boss, but I am here as the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ to share with God's people what the Lord would have us to share, that which is written in God's Word. Paul says he was a servant of Jesus Christ. And he was called to be an apostle. Paul didn't work to the position of apostle. Paul didn't start on his path on the road to the apostleship. The Apostle Paul didn't grow up and get some big position in the kingdom. The way the world organizations work is a man gets in it and then he starts working up and he gets a little higher position and he gets in it and he gets another little higher position and finally he gets to the place where he thinks he's pretty much in charge. That's the way the world works. The way the Lord's church works is just the opposite. Unless we come in today, each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been here, whether you've been a member for 4 years or 40 years or 4 months, each of us today have to come in the same way. We can't enter the kingdom unless we enter as a little child. We mentioned that in that wonderful text where the Lord took those children in His arms and held them in His arms and He took them up. And those little children, He said, suffer these little children to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He tells us in another place, unless we enter the kingdom as a little child, you cannot enter in. What does that mean? A little child is humble. A little child is not full of malice and all the stuff of this world. A little child submits himself to those that he's dependent upon or she's dependent upon. Today we come in dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We don't come in any big I's and little U's or big U's and little I's or anything like that. We don't come in and say, well, who's running the show here? Who's in charge? I'm telling you, if the Lord Jesus isn't in charge, it's kind of like somebody who said, the Lord is my co-pilot. Somebody said, well, you better get out of the driver's seat and move. You better move out of the driver's seat if God's your co-pilot. He needs to be our pilot, doesn't he? I'll tell you, and it's not that He isn't our pilot. It's not that we make Him something that He isn't already. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And no matter what I think about Him, no matter what I say about Him, it won't change who He is today. But oh, God forbid that I do anything but just what hymn number one in our book says. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. And bring that royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. When we crown Him, it's in our hearts that we recognize He's the Lord of my life. He's the one that's in control of my family. Aren't you glad you're not? He's the one who's in control of my life. Aren't you glad you're not? Doesn't mean I don't have responsibilities. But it means I'm to look to Him for every single thing that I need. As I come before you this afternoon, I pray that I have studied and searched the Scriptures. And I'd never do that enough, but I need the Lord to bless me to preach. And if you're here, I hope you've been praying and searching the Scriptures, but you need the Lord to bless you to hear. And all of you searching the Scriptures, you won't get any. You probably tried this. You ever tried to do it on your own, try to get it figured out? I'll just get my dictionary out and start looking up words. And once I get through looking up words, I should have enough intellect and enough knowledge to figure out what this passage is saying. I'm telling you, unless you're down on your knees, nothing wrong with looking. The words mean something. The words in the English mean something. The word in the Hebrew and the Greek mean something. But I'm telling you, unless the Lord enlightens your eyes, unless the Lord unstops your ears, and the true things that you really need to know, they're as clear to a little baby, to a little boy, a little girl, as they are to the wisest man of this world. As a matter of fact, they're hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. That's why we have to depend upon the Lord when we come together to worship. We have to depend upon the Lord when it comes time to preach. We have to depend upon the Lord when it comes time to understand the Scripture. We have to beg and look to the Lord. He wouldn't have us begging and looking to anyone else. But you won't wear Him out begging and looking to Him. Isn't that good? You'll wear your preacher out pretty quick. You'll wear the brethren out pretty quick if you continue to come to them for this and that. But you won't wear out the Lord. He's pleased when every one of His little children calls on Him. You can't talk to Him too much. You can't ask Him too much. You can't really ask the wrong question if you have it in your mind. He already knows your needs. And He's seated on the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, right this moment, seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is with us, even when we pray, giving us the words. Brother said, I pray you give me words. I believe the Lord gave him words, don't you? It fed my heart. And I know that if it came, I know it didn't come out of Brother London. I know it didn't come out of any of you I've heard in the past. The sweet prayers that I've heard from every one of you. And I know you dear sisters are praying. I've not heard you praying, but I've felt your prayers. And I know who gives you that. I know who gives you the hunger to do it, the need to do it, and the ability to do it. And it's only because you've been made a servant. You've been made a servant. You know, the world wouldn't like that term. You've been made the word literally means a slave. You know, nobody wants that. And certainly men have no right to make slaves out of men. That's not anything the Bible teaches or endorses. But I'll tell you, the Lord is the master, isn't He? And we got a good master. I'll tell you, we have a loving master. We're not just servants, but we are servants, but we're not just servants. We're also children and sons and daughters. We belong to Him. You have been bought and paid for. He has bought you and paid for you, but we owe Him everything. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I was called to be an apostle. And don't you believe that the Lord has a calling for all of His children? I do. He didn't call all of them to be apostles. We have the apostles given to us in Scripture. They were a very special blessing that came. It's through the apostles that we have the written word. The Lord used them to pen it down. He inspired men to write it. He didn't inspire everybody to write the Scripture. Men aren't inspired today to write the Scripture. You know why? Because all the Scripture's been written. We've got all of it that we need. That's why when someone comes and says, I've got some additional things than this that I'd like you to read in order to build what you're saying. You know, nothing wrong with other things that are written as long as you try them by this book. Because this is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This is the word of God that was given unto the apostles and was confirmed with signs that followed them. You and I can have assurance today as we read the words of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John in the book of Jude. We can read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and all of the writings of the New Testament, and as well the Old Testament. He goes right here and says the Old Testament also taught this same doctrine. Isn't it wonderful to read the Old Testament and see Jesus all over it? Because He is. We don't have to guess about that. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. And Jesus is so clearly presented when the Lord blesses us to see it. But if the Lord doesn't bless us to see it, we can read the entirety of the Bible and won't get it at all. But the Apostle Paul wanted them, desired for them, desired that God's children might know the truth. Today I desire that those who've gathered here And as many as God, of God's little children that I see in this world and might come across in this world, that in some way I might be able to share with them, I am a debtor, I am obligated to share with them the wonderful truth of what great things Jesus has done for His children. There are many of God's little children that don't understand all that He did. They understand some of what He did, but they don't understand to the degree that He did it, how well He did it, how perfectly He did it, who exactly He did it for, how certain it is rather than how iffy it might be, how certain the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is, so that we might fully rest in that work, not thinking we can add to it or take from it, but that we might live in a way that we would shine forth that light and that truth in our lives, that others who see us might see it and understand it, not so that we would be thought of as something, but that God might be glorified. He says that He was called to be an apostle. He was separated unto the gospel of God. Over in Acts chapter 9, reading where Ananias, he was sent unto Ananias. Ananias, it says in verse 13 of Acts 9, it says, "And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem." Boy, that was a reputation, wasn't it? We heard somebody was coming here to preach for us, and all we heard was all the stuff that he'd done in the past. I wouldn't want my past laid out before all of y'all tonight. I wouldn't want to hear about all your past. But Ananias, Paul had some reputation, and it wasn't a good reputation. But here's what's wonderful: God could take a man with that kind of reputation and turn him around to be a writer of the scriptures that you and I read and hold dear and cherish so greatly. What can God do with the lives of His little children? Listen, the Apostle Paul said it this way: if He can do it for me, He can do it for anybody. I'm paraphrasing that, but that's basically what he said. He felt to be what? The chief of sinners. And if he said, and if the Lord could forgive me and has forgiven me, then surely, brethren, we can have a great peace about how He might forgive us and will be with us. He says, he goes on and he says, "And here He hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on Thy name." In other words, Ananias is talking to the Lord and said, "I know You've told me to see this man and to talk to this man, but Lord," almost like, "Lord, are You sure You know what You're doing?" You know, sometimes as the Lord calls us, I remember as a young boy, young man, when I first felt the burden to preach, I was like, "Lord, you sure You know what You're doing?" you know, I can't even talk to people. I mean, not a lot of people. I talk to a lot of one-on-ones, but get me in front of a crowd, I break out in hives. Literally, I broke out in hives. Speech class in college, most troubling thing I had. I had to go make a just an oral presentation and break out in hives. I actually had hives. How could I speak to God's children? How could I go before them and share anything with folks that already know so much more than I know? How could I know enough? How could I share what I know? You know what the Lord teaches you is you share what you do know. You share what I've given you. You look to me, and I will supply what you need, and you'll need to, and what you need for the moment you need it and the time that you need it. And I have found Him over the years to be faithful and supply just what's needed. Not that we get everything right. We mess up more times than we get it right. But thanks be to God, I've been blessed by the grace of God at times just to be able to help one or two of God's little children along the way by sharing how great things the Lord has done for His people. And though I might not be able to say it like Brother So-and-so, and I might not be able to preach it like Brother So-and-so, God didn't call me to preach like them. God told me to follow Him Just like he told Peter, you follow me and you be what I would have you to be, and I'll give you the strength to do it. I'll give you the ability to do it. You just trust in him. The Lord told us that. And Paul won such a reputation, and Ananias didn't even want to talk to him. But listen what the Lord said to Ananias. He said, but the Lord said unto him, speaking to Ananias, verse 15, he said, you go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. In other words, I've chosen him. I didn't ask your opinion about it, Ananias. I've chosen him. Who are you to question who God chooses? And by the way, if we were all based on our merit, you know which of us have deserved to be chosen of God? Not one of us. Not one single one of us. God made choice of us despite what we deserved. Aren't you thankful? He may not have called you to preach, but he's called you to do something. He's called you to be a part of his kingdom. He's called you to take up your cross and follow him. He's called you to be the encourager or the prayer or whatever it is it might be that the Lord would have you to do. You do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. And you just don't know how much a word of encouragement might mean to one of God's little children along the way when they're downcast and brokenhearted, just to hear a good word from you that would say to them, look to the Lord, my dear brother, my dear sister. He'll not let you down. And has he let us down ever? No. And he never will. He says, you go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And he's going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Apostle Paul suffered a great deal for his name's sake. There is some giving up in this world when we follow the Lord. There's some things you give up. Some things you could be doing even this afternoon that the world would consider much more important. But I say to you, I don't believe we've given up a thing. Do you? Matter of fact, I think we've chosen, I pray, humbly, I pray that we've chosen that good part of all the things that could have been doing. Just to sit here and sing, hear a brother pray, to hug my brethren's neck, to have sweet fellowship with God's children, to be in the fellowship of the Lord and his people one more time in this world. Something that we're going to be doing in heaven forever and ever, perfectly, without sin, without any pain, without any problems, without any physical distraction, without anything taking us out of it. We're going to be able to look and see him face to face and not have any sin in the picture or in the way. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a glorious day. But until that time, the Lord's given us this day. And I believe it's the closest to heaven we get. Whenever we can get together with just a few of God's children and gather together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He says he was called to be an apostle. He was separated unto the gospel of God. In other words, he called him to preach. That's how preachers preach today. They're called by God. Then they're qualified by God. And then they're blessed by God. And they're to study to show themselves approved, like the Apostle Paul told young Timothy. Timothy, he said, you meditate on these things. You give thyself wholly unto them. And in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Did he save anybody for heaven and immortal glory? No. There's only one Savior that saved us for heaven and immortal glory. Then how did Timothy save himself and them that hear thee? I'm telling you, when God's little children take the Word of God and apply it to their lives by the grace of God, there's a deliverance in that. Haven't you been delivered? Have you had the gospel set you free? Have you had a deliverance from hearing the gospel? When you feel the bondage of sin weighing down on you and you think, hey, is there any hope for a sinner like me? And then you hear the good news that Jesus died for sinners just like you. Doesn't that set you free? When you think hell is certainly going to be what I deserve and where I will end up, and you hear the good news that he has not imputed your sin unto you, but rather he's imputed his righteousness. He's given us his righteousness and paid for our sin debt. That's what the gospel tells God's little children. And the reason he did it is not because you got good enough for it, but that he had a love for you, foreknew you, foreloved you even before the very foundation of the world. And he effectually calls you. And then he justified you when he died for you on the tree of the cross. And one sweet day, he'll have the fullness of that and we'll be glorified. And that salvation is a timely salvation that comes in the gospel when we hear it and we believe it. And today, I don't want you to hear it and not believe it. I want you to embrace it. I want to encourage you that if you have an ear to hear, you have an appetite for it. Even if you feel like it's too good to be true, I want you to know it's true. It's true, and it's for you. If you've heard it, it's only by the grace of God that you heard it. The old devil will do anything he can, even come in and say, "Well, you think you got it, but you don't really have it." You know, that's how he works. And you become worried about it, concerned about it. You know who he does that to? God's children. He doesn't have to do it to the world. They're not even concerned about it. So even that activity, even in a negative sense, that activity gives evidence that you must be his. Or the why is it? The devil wouldn't be needing to work on you so hard. But he's working in order to bring a doubt or a fear or a concern. And that's why we need to come back to the gospel and hear it again. That drives those fears away. Drives my fears away. Like the hymn writer said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows. Have you had it soothes your sorrows? It heals his wounds. And it drives away his fears. That's the salvation that's in the gospel. Thanks be to the Lord that he didn't leave us in the dark. He could have just left us in the dark and at the very last minute pulled us out and carried us home to be with him in glory. But he's allowed you and I to have a little taste of it here in this world. Has it meant anything to you? Oh, I'll tell you, the sweetest place on this earth to me has been the Lord's church and the Lord's kingdom. And the sweetest friends that I've had in this world have been the Lord's people. And even in the last couple of years when we've been through a pandemic and seem to be cut off even from being able to worship and meet like we have in the past for a period of time, I have seen his kingdom in a greater light in this last couple years than I've ever seen it in my life. I felt closer to him even in the midst of it all. You know who's to get the credit for every bit of that? The one the Apostle Paul said we owe everything to. He said, I am what I am. How? By the grace of God. He says, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the Holy Scriptures. The Old Testament says Jesus is coming over and over again. The law service pictured Jesus is coming. The law service pictured there was going to be a lamb slain. There was going to be blood shed. There was going to be a sin debt made. There was no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And all of that was pictured in the law. All of the blood of the lambs and bulls and goats and heifers and turtle doves, none of that washed away one single sin. But it was pointing to, and it was in remembrance of sin, it was pointing to that ultimate sacrifice that was going to be offered when God himself was manifest in the flesh. And he came as the sweet, precious Lamb of God, as John saw him, which taketh away the sin of the world. At Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3, we hear the voice of the Son of God as the Holy Spirit descends from heaven and lights upon him as a dove. The Lord Jesus Christ, after his baptism, we hear the voice of the Son of God saying this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We see Jesus healing the sick, the lame, the halt, the maimed, the blind, doing and preaching the poor, preaching the gospel to the poor. And we know he does that how? By the Holy Spirit that was given unto him, not in measure. There was no measure, but in fullness. He was justified by the Spirit of Almighty God. We see him giving his life, but he didn't remain dead, did he? No, he rose again. Over in John chapter 10, it tells us there in John chapter 10, he says, He says, first of all, in John chapter 10, in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Boy, that's a whole lot to say. We could talk a whole long time about that. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And he says, I know my sheep. The world doesn't believe that, but it's still the truth. He knows his sheep. Which one of them? Each and every one of them. He knows where they are. He knows who they are. And when it pleases him, he will quicken them. He will make them alive. He will call them effectually by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. That means each one of them will know him. How will they know him? They'll know him in that personal relationship that comes in the new birth. They are born of his spirit. They receive the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. They cry out to him because he comes to them. We don't carry the Lord anywhere to introduce him to anyone in that sense. We can in a gospel sense. The Apostle Paul tells us we're to preach him in a gospel way. But I'm telling you, unless the Lord has come personally and made himself known, we no longer can teach any man to know the Lord, for they all shall know me. We don't have to do it, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I'm so thankful that God won't miss one of his children. Aren't you? I'm thankful for that. That doesn't in any way diminish our responsibility to share the gospel with each and every one of them. Paul said he was a debtor. He owed it to them to share that gospel, not to make them children of God, as we heard in the prayer, but that because of what he has already done to enlighten them about who it is they ought to be living for. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And get this, he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Who did Jesus die for? For the sheep. Did Jesus try to make the goat sheep? Did he come to do that? No. He knew who the sheep were. They were chosen before the foundation of the world. He came to lay down his life for the sheep. How many of the sheep? All the sheep. Did he miss one of the sheep? Did he die for the goats? No, he died for the sheep. And he paid the price for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. There's no preaching that can turn a goat into a sheep. We're to feed his lambs and to feed his sheep. We don't feed to try to make a goat a sheep. We feed the ones that he has already made his sheep. They are his sheep, and they're his sheep by his choice. And that choice was made before the foundation of the world. Which of us had anything to do with that? Not one. And that is what we're to preach and to teach to God's children. He laid down his life for the sheep. He goes on and he says, and other sheep I have. In other words, I'm speaking to you Jewish brethren. He says, other sheep I have. That means out of every nation. Aren't you glad? Out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, the Lord has a people. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That is, it's not of the Jewish nation. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Oh, over in the book of Ephesians, it talks about how he's made of two, one body. As he made, you know, and all through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the passage I wanted to get to. He said, verse 17, John chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Listen, he didn't just lay it down. He took it back up again. We don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve one who's in a grave today. He didn't just die a martyr and then nothing else happened. No, he gave his life and he offered it once unto God, paid the sin debt for his people, and then he took that life back up again. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he came forth a resurrected Savior. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. That means our Savior died in power. He didn't die in weakness. You and I will die in weakness. He didn't die in weakness. They couldn't have taken his life had he not freely given it. And as a matter of fact, even after they'd done all that they said, he cried out unto the Father. You know, he spoke unto the Father. He said, no man lay it, take it from him, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In other words, the Father sent him as the Son of Man to do what only he could do, and he did it completely and perfectly. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm excited to tell you, brethren, at Rome, this wonderful gospel. He said, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus was not made as the Son of God, but he did come and was made as a man. He was with God in the beginning. He was God. He is God. He will ever be God. He says, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And that's how we know that he was exactly who he was. There's an empty grave that proves that Jesus was who he was. He offered himself once unto God. The sacrifice was received. And we have been made accepted in the Beloved. And that is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, by whom we have received grace. That's how you and I have grace. Because of what Jesus did. And apostleship. That's how the Apostle Paul was an apostle. So when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, you thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that. When you read the Bible, you thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that. When you hear your preacher preach and it blesses your heart, you thank the Lord for that. When you get a call from one of your brethren that you really need, or a text from one of your dear brethren that you really need, you give the Lord the praise for that, because it's by His grace that we have anything at all that we can help one another. He says He had called into that for a reason. For obedience to the faith, that is the body of truth, among all nations, and get this, for His name, that is for His praise and for His glory. We'll just close with verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. That means, you dear brethren at Rome, you are among those that the Lord has called out. Today, as I speak to you here at Happy Creek, I believe you're among those that the Lord has called out. I don't know why the Lord has called who He called, but I am so thankful that He's called men from nature's darkness to His marvelous light. I'm thankful that He's allowed me to see it, have a part of it, and feel His presence. And I just pray that He'll draw us closer and closer, that this little church might continue to stand and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified to the glory and to the honor and the praise of our Lord, to the glory of His name. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.